Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Holiday Gift Shop here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah, but now that the holiday season is approaching, you know, people have to buy gifts, and we thought that would be an excellent opportunity for us to, like, unload, like, make available.
Yeah, watch your tongue, boy.
I shouldn't say unload. Make available some of the terrific items that we use here. I mean, we personally use these very items here at Car Talk Plaza.
That's right. Look, like, for $79.95, a mere $79.95.
That's nothing. I mean, that's nothing. It's a drop in the bucket, so to speak.
That's right. I mean, it is. We have the Car Talk Head of Hair in a Can. Now, to those of you who are not late-night TV aficionados, this may just look like an ordinary can of 10W-30 motor oil, but look closely.
Yeah, it says motor oil right on
not
here.
Not you, knucklehead. I know it says motor oil, but this is actually a complete hair restoration system.
How can it be a complete hair? You're nuts.
Well, here, just dip a few fingers from each hand into the can.
Let me try it here.
Okay. And then you smear it on the top of your head like this.
Ew, this is disgusting.
Oh, boy. All right, I'll go on to the next item.
Right.
Here we have these beautiful chrome-plated hexagonal rings, perfect for that someone special.
These aren't rings. These are lug nuts.
Maybe they are to you. I got my wife convinced that they're rare gems.
You're nuts. Do I get to read mail or not?
I don't know.
I don't have enough good mail.
If you have a good letter, read it. If you don't, we'll just take a call.
No, let's just take a call.
All right. If you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Kevin in Lafayette, Indiana.
Hi, Kevin. How are you? Lafayette.
Yes, the automotive Bermuda Triangle of the Midwest.
Really?
Yeah.
Why so?
Well, I first started having conversations with people. They would tell me that they weren't originally from here. When I'd ask them how they wound up in Lafayette, they would say, oh, my car broke down.
Oh.
And they settled there.
And they settled there.
And they just decided to settle there.
Well, that's interesting. So that's the Bermuda Triangle of the Middle East here.
Yeah, at least for automobiles, as far as I can tell.
So what's up, Kev?
Well, I have a 91 Nissan pickup truck.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem is winter is coming, and it's a two-wheel drive model,
yeah.
And it likes to slide around a bit.
Yeah.
Now, people have recommended that I put weight over the back wheels.
Yes.
And when I ask them, you know, how much, they go, well, you should try some cinder blocks. Okay, well, how much? Well, why don't you try some sandbags? I've never really gotten a good answer as to how much is enough. Is it effective? How do I determine the optimum weight?
Yeah. Well, I mean, first of all, there are no formulas in all the reference books about this.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is a matter of trial and error. I would start, what does a bag of sand weigh? Something like 60 pounds, right?
Right.
I would say 80 pounds.
80 pounds.
That's my guess.
Actually, it's 70 is the one that I have.
I see in the back of that pickup truck at least a half a dozen bags.
I was going to say five bags would fit conveniently across the bed of the pickup truck.
Yeah.
And bags of sand are nice. They're preferable to cinder blocks. First of all, you need a million cinder blocks.
Yeah, and the cinder blocks, when you hit the brake, they're going to slide around, and the bags of sand aren't.
Well, I have cinder blocks, and they're in these convenient long tubes, and they say they go over the wheel well. Now, should I just place them over the wheel itself or across the bed?
You want them right over those rear wheels.
Oh. Super.
Yeah, you want them right on top of the axle.
Okay.
Yeah. Pretty much. If you put them in front of the axle, then some of the weight is shared by the front wheels, and you don't have a problem in the front.
Right.
And if you put them behind, the axle, what happens then is it tends to lift up the, it'll be pivot around the rear axle.
So I can be doing wheelies and stuff.
And it'll tend to
be
lift
doing wheelies,
up the front end and diminish the and impair the handling.
Yeah.
So you want it right over the axle.
Okay. Well, that sounds like
the question that occurs to me, Kev, is this: if you put sand in the back of the truck like this, then you can't use it as a pickup truck anymore. And the question becomes, well, why did you buy a pickup truck in the first place?
Actually, I still can haul most of the stuff. I'm still everybody's best friend on moving day.
Of course.
Just pile it on top of the sandbags.
Right. It doesn't take up too much space. And if it's too terrible, I just toss them aside and say, okay, let's move your sofa, and where's my pizza?
And the nice thing about the sandbags is you can leave them by the side of the road and come back for them later because no one's going to take them.
You can come. They can leave them there all summer.
See you, Kev.
All right, thanks a lot.
Good luck.
Thanks.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Alice from Westwood.
Westwood, Massachusetts?
Yeah.
Hi, Alice.
No
Hi.
Kidding.
Yes, our fair town.
Yeah.
I used to live near there once.
That's right. Tommy did live near
Westwood.
I lived
in Dedham. Isn't that the next town?
It is, yeah.
Yeah. I hated it.
It's all right. They hated you, too.
They hated me, too. What's up, Alice?
Well, I have a 1992 Volvo 240, mm-hmm. and sometimes in the morning when I start the car and start driving it, it makes a very strange sound, sort of like, wah, wah. And it changes tone as I accelerate and decelerate. And it might last for, I don't know.
5 minutes or so.
Yeah, 5 minutes or so. And then it goes away.
And this happens when you start the car, you back out of your driveway.
And I start driving, accelerating.
Yeah.
I started noticing it about a year ago.
Oh, it's really been worrisome.
It's been a while. And it wasn't happening very often, so I didn't think too much about it.
Of course.
And then more recently, it's been happening more often. And so I'm beginning to be a little bit concerned about it.
But not that concerned that you sought professional help.
Well...
She considers this.
I haven't yet, no.
This is professional
help?
She
considers this to be professional help, yeah.
And
she's a cheapskate.
From my vast experience with this car, I think I'm going to suggest that it is... Well, I mean, I should ask a question first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, maybe I shouldn't.
Ask.
Yeah?
I would.
Is the noise coming from where the passenger's feet would be if there were a person in the passenger seat?
No, I think it seems to be coming from the engine.
All right, well, good enough.
I told you not to ask a question.
I'm an ace of cars, can you tell?
There is a pipe that leads from the front of the engine, that uh-huh. is the manifold, and connects to the catalytic converter. It's called the front engine pipe, appropriately.
Uh-huh.
And it has a wrapping of sheet metal around it, and that gets loose. And because it's just basically crimped onto the pipe, and it's designed to act as a shield, a heat shield.
Mm-hmm.
And my guess is that is what's causing the noise on acceleration, because that sheet metal is vibrating, and it goes away when it warms up, or diminishes a lot when it warms up, because the pipe expands from the heat. My brother has that look in his face that says, bogus?
Well,
but he's... He's going to defer to me here because...
I haven't said a thing.
No, but the look is telling.
Well, because I'm having trouble converting the sound to what you describe.
Well, the piece is long. You know, you ever blow into a soda pop bottle?
Yeah.
And you get a tone. Now, if you blow into a bigger bottle, the tone is deeper.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why, you know...
And this has nothing to do with bottles or blowing.
Well, no, it does, because the piece of metal here is longer, so it vibrates at a lower frequency. It's... Is that the noise, Alex?
It is.
Well, that's nice,
it
but
is.
I mean, you would never describe that noise as a rattle. A moan, perhaps?
Well,
a moan?
It's a vibration. It's rattle's the wrong word, but vibration is good, right? Moan?
Yeah.
Do you have to be accelerating?
Yes.
And the car has to be moving?
No.
Yes.
It does. If you try it in your driveway, actually, you can get it to do it. You wouldn't do this.
No.
But if you just left the thing in neutral
uh-huh.
or park and just revved up the engine and got to that same speed, the same engine speed where the noise usually occurs,
uh-huh.
you will get the noise without the car being in motion.
Wouldn't it be nice then?
If Alice could run out right now and do it, huh?
Or if someone could help her just by stepping on the gas a little bit with the car not moving and open uh-huh. the hood, then you'd be able to tell because this thing is right there.
Yeah, someone could actually poke at it with like a broomstick.
And if the noise went away, my brother would be...
right again.
Yeah.
Well, Alice, you may be a visitor on Chump the Stumps.
On Chump the Stumps.
On Chump the Stumps, right.
Okay, thank you very much.
See you later, Alice.
Bye-bye. Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is John from the tropical climes of Buffalo, New York.
Yes. How is it in Buffalo?
Oh, it's great.
I mean, it's not bad that Buffalo's bad enough to begin with.
But it's going to snow, too?
Snow, too? I mean, you talk about adding insult to injury. Even when the sun is out, you guys are miserable, right?
You know, actually, there's no snow here at all. They're just showing replays from the blizzard of 77 on TV.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's a story.
Yeah.
My wife and her best friend are driving from Buffalo to San Diego, California.
Wow.
Yeah, her best friend is moving out there, and she's accompanying her on the trip.
How nice.
Oh, yeah.
Has your wife ever been to San Diego?
No.
She's never coming back.
Yeah. And plus, she has two other friends living out there.
When are they doing this?
Next week.
Yeah.
They're taking a 87 Volkswagen Cabriolet out there.
Mm.
And there's a couple of trains of thought on how they should approach the trip. Would it make a difference if they were to take, say, 4 10-hour legs and rest 8 hours between each leg? Or could they drive until they... are tired and pull over to a rest stop.
Until the engine blows up.
Will they be taking along an extra engine? Do they have room?
Not in that Cabriolet, no way.
No.
My suggestion was to get a full synthetic oil change and just drive. The engine is designed to run, whether it be an hour or 5 hours, 10 hours.
Well, that's
hours.
Not quite true.
Okay.
I mean, the more it runs, the harder it gets to keep running. It's just like if you were in the marathon. I can do the beginning of the marathon with no trouble whatsoever. You know, that first 100, 200 yards.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
But if I had to go the whole 26 or 9 yards, miles, it would be pretty impossible. And it's the same for the car. Cars just like people.
Okay, so the engine would wear and tear become more progressive as the hours go on.
Yeah. I would do it like in 1 hour spurts. You know, like Schenectady. Oh, that's the wrong direction. Yeah, I mean, I would try to go for an hour and get a motel. And rest up for and stay overnight, watch a little TV, go another hour the next day.
Okay.
So, I would recommend against the synthetic oil. Unless they've been using it right along, I don't think this is a good time to do that.
Why is that?
There was no time to experiment.
Oh, okay.
There was one school of thought that says that if you change late in a car's life from one to the other, that you can experience either leaks or dramatic oil consumption increases.
Hmm.
So I would, if it's been running all right on natural oil, I would stick with that.
Okay.
And don't forget, once they get out of New York State, they're not going to need the benefits of synthetic oil. The thing will start.
Okay.
On morning number two.
Yeah, and they are going to take sort of a southern route, I presume, aren't
yes.
they?
Yes, through Texas and New Mexico.
Excellent. Okay. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
So they're going to just head due south right from New. They're going to drive right to, like, to New Orleans.
Right, and who knows if they'll even go on from there.
Right, they may just decide to relocate there. They can drive as many hours on each leg as they want. What's more important than how many hours they drive is how fast they drive.
Okay.
I would rather see them drive. They can drive a 10-hour leg.
Oh,
or a 10-hour foot.
Oof.
If they drive at 55, if they drive at 75, mm-hmm. which you know they're going to do.
Yeah, then it's down to 6 hours. Five.
Right, because once they leave Buffalo, I mean, there's not much to see after that. They're going to start increasing their speed. Next thing you know, they're going to be doing 75 or 80, and that's when the engine is really laboring.
Yeah. And they shouldn't drive continuously for that kind of time. I mean, all the manuals suggest that you drive for, take a 20-minute break every 2 hours.
Right.
So every couple of hours, you got to pull off, let the thing cool down a little bit, because, I mean, that's a long time to keep running and running and running.
Oh, that's true.
So
the time limit, the 2 hours and rest for 20 minutes, has more to do with you than the car.
Yeah.
Because you want to stay alert and you don't want to get bored. I know if I'm in a car for more than 2 or 3 hours at a time, I start getting bored and I start doing things. Like
you wouldn't get bored in my Dart, man. There's more to do and more things happening.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Lights flashing, dials going crazy.
Yeah, needles.
Stuff falling off.
Yeah. Tell them to take frequent rest because it is good for the car, but more importantly, it's good for them.
Okay.
And don't put the synthetic oil in.
Oh.
Just
and good
it.
Luck to the both of them, John.
Well, thank you very much.
And take some pictures of your wife before she leaves. See you, John.
Bye-bye now.
1-888. Wow.
That takes courage. We would do it because we're stupid. You would think women would have more brains than that because, as Dave Barry says, women are much smarter than men.
Yes.
I mean, two guys, 87, it's practically brand new. I mean, we would go in the dark.
Well, no.
I would. I would go in the dark.
No.
I would have as much chance of making it to San Diego in the dark as these two ladies have of making it in the cabrio.
Well, I predict.
They'll make it.
They will make it without a hitch.
Without incident. Well, I think they will, too.
Want to put some money on it?
$100.
Sounds good.
What we didn't tell him, if he's still listening.
No, he'll never listen again.
I mean, I presume that they're going to have the thing completely checked out, belts, hoses, and all that stuff before they leave.
Of course. I mean, it's understood.
It's understood that they would do that because they're smart, because they're women.
They'd be fools not to do that.
Yeah.
Hey, do you happen to remember, why am I asking this? Do you happen to remember anything about last week's puzzler?
Oh, jeez. I don't. How about a hint?
Okay, here's your hint. What's the one product that most of our relatives know how to make?
Oh, our relatives? License plates.
Exactly.
What?
The puzzler was about a license plate with four letters on it, a four-letter license plate, which you could identify the make and model of the car. And we'll tell you what the plate said, and we'll have more of your calls in a minute, so please stay tuned.
I got a Lincoln Continental. Lord, you know that's right. I got a Lincoln Continental. Lord, you know that's right. Go pro wheels, paperless and white. I'm going out to California, see the roadster show.
And even though the NPR staff electrician quintuples the voltage in our seat warmers whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR. A quick shout-out to one of our sponsors, Pajamagram. How's this sound for a holiday photo? Matching pajamas for the entire family, even the cat and dog. Pajamagram can do it. You might want to put on two pairs yourself for extra padding before trying to dress the cat, however. Anyway, Pajamagram is the only one with over 17 family sets of pajamas, with styles from traditional to, a few sandwiches short of a picnic. You'll definitely find something that fits your family's personality. Check them out at pajamagram.com, all with free gift packaging. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. And this is part of the license plate series. And it comes to us from someone named Noel Nyman.
Oh, I wonder if he's related to Joe Nyman.
To your buddy Joe, your pal, your former business partner.
Yeah.
I doubt it.
Whose last words were, "Don't call me anymore."
Well, anyway, in the past, we've asked people to identify the kind of car that would be sporting a particular license plate. And I'll give you a couple of examples. One was Tan 270. And the car that was affixed to was an Infiniti. The tangent of 270 is infinity. And
270 degrees.
Of course, yes.
Of course. Well, not everyone is into...
Oh, I'm sorry. Trigonometry.
Trig.
And there was another one, 4X4X8. You could say, 4x4x8 must have been a 1999 sheetrock.
No.
But it was an Accord, because a cord of wood is 4x4x8. 4X. By 4 feet by 8 feet long. So anyway, here's today's. The license plate has four letters on it. I-N-M-Y. I like India, N like November, M as in Mike, and Y as in Yankee. In my. Got it?
Yeah.
What's the car it's attached to?
I know the answer.
You do?
I do. In my shoes. In my element.
In my element.
I'm in my element.
Exactly,
man.
Right. The car is a Honda Element.
That's pretty good.
Cute, huh?
I like it.
So who's our winner?
The winner is Suzanne Howley from Framingham, Massachusetts.
Really?
For having her answer selected at random from the snow shovel full of correct answers that we got, Suzanne will get a $25 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com, with which he can get a copy of our CD, Car Talk Cartoons, Volume 1. It's the compendium of disrespectful car songs, the perfect gift for the person in your life who has everything.
Well, everything but taste, that is.
That's right. Actually, it's quite good, and I have a copy of it myself. I didn't pay for it.
Yeah? Well, what's your favorite song on the album?
My favorite song is They're All Jerks. I know she's singing about drivers, but I play it when I open our threatening letters from lawyers, and I sing, they're all jerks.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new, I would have to call it a logic puzzler, coming up in the third half of today's show.
Logic.
So don't touch that dial, and if you have a question about your car, you can touch the dial if you want. We don't really care, but you can call us. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255.
Actually, most people do not touch the dial. They just pull out the plug.
They rip out
the
plug.
The radio out of the wall and throw it out the window.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Who's this?
This is John.
John.
Where are you from, John?
I'm from Denver, Colorado.
Yeah, so what's up?
We have a 1967 Chevelle, and it's been in the family ever since it was new. So there's lots of stories about the Chevelle and all of the grandchildren, and everybody has driven it.
Sure.
But we always end up at the dentist office.
The dentist's office.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, it seems that the power brake on this particular car is very sensitive.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah.
And it rattles your teeth loose.
No.
Well, we all hit the steering wheel when we hit the brake.
And oh!
See, if we had a family portrait...
Everyone would have no teeth in the front. Yeah, that's good.
Everybody's front tooth is chipped in exactly the same manner.
Yeah. You ever talk like Gabby Hayes in your family? Well,
yeah.
And the car is a nice car. It runs real well, and we'd like to fix the brake.
Well, there were a bunch of years there when General Motors cars in general, had very, very sensitive power brake boosters.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you would touch that pedal, and boom, you stopped on a nickel.
I'll give her the years. 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, 66, 67, 68, 69, 70, 71.
Slow down.
71.
Slow down. 71 might have been it.
Yeah.
Because we know that in the early 70s it was gone.
Well, and the reason it disappeared is they switched over to disc brakes in the front. This car has drum brakes on all four wheels.
That's right.
Yeah.
And when you have to really learn how to drive it.
Yes.
And I'm sure you're good at it, aren't you?
Oh, we've all become good at it.
Yeah.
Eventually.
The quickest fix that I can think of is you take some duct tape,
uh-huh,
and you tape an egg to the pedal.
Yeah.
That way, when you step on the pedal, it will force you to step very, very gently. Otherwise, you'll break the egg.
Good thought.
And if you can do that,
yeah,
you won't smash
your
teeth.
I like greasing the brakes. If you apply a light, thin layer of grease to the brakes, and usually...
Sure.
Yeah, that's good, too.
Slide off.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any remedy for this. I mean, I remember people coming into the garage that would throw the keys on the counter and say, I hate this car, I can't drive. And it was always a young driver that had gotten the car, inherited it from a grandparent or a parent. Now, my father gave me this car. He wants me to drive a safe American car, and I hate it. I can't drive it. Every time I step on the brake, my face goes under the windshield.
That's it. Yeah.
That's just the way they were.
Yeah. I mean, how many people are left now with teeth?
Well, hardly any of us.
Yeah, so what's to worry about?
Well, that's true. Well, there's another generation coming along, and
yeah.
Since there's lots of stories with the car, we'll probably continue to keep it.
You should keep it,
What's the reason for keeping this car? Is there some sentimental value?
Of course there's
It has no
value.
Other value. You know that.
Every person that has borrowed it from Grandma has a good story that goes with it.
Sure. Cars have a personality, for one thing.
That's right.
And you can't just discard them. I mean, they have become family friends.
Cars were made to be junked.
And teeth were made to be broken, I guess.
Teeth were made to be
broken. Like promises.
No, cars were not made to be junked. Absolutely not.
You must have some other reliable transportation.
Oh,
right,
yeah, plenty.
This
sure.
is the clunker.
Yeah.
In other words, the one that just hangs around. If the keys are available, someone will drive it if it has gas or whatever. Yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah, so we know you don't drive this every day. My brother, however, would drive this every day if it were in his stable.
Of course.
So
of course.
Yeah.
Well, what would he do about his teeth?
We don't.
What?
Thanks for your call, John.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I have a little note here.
What?
How to calm an angry co-host. We always disagree. You say cars are made to be junked, and I say absolutely not. Here are some of the techniques to calm an angry or unreasonable co-host.
I should be reading this because I never become unreasonable. I never become angry or infuriated. I never rant and rave. I'm cool, calm, and collected.
Well, then pay attention. You may need some of these techniques. Here's one. Fogging. Disarm the co-host by agreeing, whenever possible, with whatever truth, generalization, or probability they present.
Yes,
keep in mind that some part of what they're saying, even though greatly exaggerated, might be true. So, sure.
Yeah, this...
Cars were made to be junked after 100 years.
Yeah, no, you're right. Okay.
Wait a minute. Here's another one. Disarming. Give them a chance to reconsider any rash statements by saying, excuse me.
All right, try that on me. Go ahead.
Excuse me. I didn't quite catch what you said.
I said cars are made to be junked.
I knew you were a jerk.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. I'm a lawyer on Car Talk.
This is Beverly from Fortuna, California.
Fortuna, how are you, Bev?
I'm just fine.
Do you mind people calling you Bev?
No.
I don't know that I should become that familiar so soon since we've only known each other for 7 seconds.
No, that's really cool.
But Bev is good. I like Bev.
Yeah, Bev's good.
What's up?
I have an 81 Ford Econoline van, an E150 V8 automatic, and I've had it for a long time.
Yeah.
The car will die when I take my foot off the gas, like to go around the corner or come up to an intersection.
Mm.
When I'm slowing down, the car just dies, you know, so then I have to restart it. But this last time, I actually went down and fixed it by getting my oil changed. Now, and I want to know what the connection is.
Well, let me tell you, Bev, this frequently happens to vehicles that should have been junked. You would junk this thing at the right time.
Excuse me, I didn't quite catch what you said.
Instead of continuing to drive it with the expectation. I can tell that there was a connection between my brother and you, Bev.
We're simpatico, I guess you'd call it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Because you're another cheapskate like him. You're driving this thing into the ground. You're trying to squeeze every last nickel out of it.
That's right.
I mean, the truth is that the link between changing the oil and the car not stalling anymore is purely psychological. There is no mechanical link, so to speak.
Well,
there
may be something. When they open the hood to change the oil and all the bats fly out.
Yeah.
The engine may breathe better.
Yeah.
It only happened one time. I really wouldn't have connected it. But the last time that it happened was about a week ago, and the car had just been dying. I have to drive around with one foot on the gas and one on the brake.
Yes.
And then I thought, you know, I think that if I get the oil change, this is going to stop. I went down to the corner dipstick in Fortuna. I got my oil changed, and I stood there and watched him. He didn't do anything but put a new filter on and put oil in it. He didn't do anything else.
Well, it was just
the car stopped dying.
It was just being in the presence of a repair facility.
Yeah, it just felt better.
I don't think he would be classified as a mechanic.
No, but the car, facility.
The car was there in a repair facility, and that's what I meant by psychological.
It got fixed
not
by
psychological alcohol. For you, psychological for the car. The car just said, my God, there is hope.
So you've mastered this technique of 2 feet. I realize that's what my brother is now forced to drive automatic transmission cars. Every car he has to use a 2 foot thing. If he had a standard shift, he'd have to have a third leg grafted on.
No, actually, I can do it. You can actually do it.
Oh, yeah?
With a
like
stick shift.
Timeshare?
Oh. You're going to use those feet are moving. It's like playing
Nureyev, right?
Like playing the organ. You know the people with the organ?
Oh, yeah.
The foot pedals?
Right.
Those feet are moving constantly.
Yes.
So, Beverly can learn this technique.
It must be a wonder to behold.
It is.
Well, now, wouldn't, if the oil got old in the car, I get it changed about probably every, between 2,000 and 4,000 miles, usually around 2,500. Would the oil be getting old and thick and make the car run more?
Jeez, if it were that thick that it could slow it down.
Yeah, that would be very, very serious.
Pretty bad.
Well, it's really old and tired like me, you know.
Now, something else happened. The weather changed, or when he slammed the hood, he moved something. But it had nothing to do with changing. Yeah. The oil does not make the engine run better.
I'm going to suggest that a tune-up might help.
Ah, now you're talking.
There you go.
There you go. That's a novel idea.
Some new spark plugs or something. Well, my boss told me that you'd laugh at me, and so...
We didn't, did we?
We certainly didn't.
Oh, heavens no.
I would never laugh at someone named Bev.
Somebody else in the background.
Hey, good luck, Bev. Get a tune-up, and it'll stop doing that.
Okay.
Nice talking to you, Beverly.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, my name is Dennis.
Hi, Dennis.
I'm from Minneapolis.
Is that Dennis with one N or two?
Two N's.
And you're from Minneapolis. M-I-N-N-I-N.
That's with two N's also.
What's up, Dennis?
Minneapolis.
Yes.
What's
up? I have a 1989 Taurus.
Uh-huh.
Dark blue. 97,000 miles.
We don't have to know the color.
What's not
that?
Yet.
What's
not yet.
Not important.
Well, actually, the whole car has nothing else to do with the question, but I thought you might be interested in what I'm driving.
Oh, okay. Wise guy.
Do we need another wise guy? How are you, Dennis?
I know. Three's a crowd, right?
Dark blue, 97 grand.
Okay. This question has to do with driving.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, I make a mistake. While I'm driving. Nothing
yeah,
illegal.
Me too. The insurance company knows about all of mine.
I'm not talking about a wreck, and I'm not talking about anything illegal.
A little faux pas in driving etiquette.
That's right.
You
something
cut
that's
someone
annoying
off.
To those other drivers around or behind me.
Yeah, yes. I know what your question is.
What's that?
How do you apologize?
You're right.
What gesture do you make?
Right,
we need
is.
To develop a universal symbol for apology. We already know what the universal symbol for disdain is. Which finger do you use to indicate apology? Would it be a thumb? No.
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 Maybe the baby finger.
The baby finger.
The baby finger of the right hand is sufficiently diminutive to show remorse and apology. I think that the baby finger held up should become the universal symbol for I screwed up and I'm sorry.
Well, you know, to some extent, I blame the automobile manufacturers. They were fine in making a horn for the car, and the horn... Every car...
Is offensive. It's an offensive weapon.
It's an offensive sound.
Mm-hmm.
There is no mechanism by which you can communicate with anyone in any other car except by means of obscene gestures or the horn, which is not acceptable. So, to some extent, I think that the automobile manufacturers are at fault for not supplying us with something. But on the other hand, we've been putting up with it for low these 100 years, and we're not going to stand for it anymore.
So do we want to have a whiner? So we have a horn and a whiner?
We could have a whiner that says, oh, my
well,
God.
Well, actually, the other symbol that works pretty well, I mean, obviously the pinky finger is something we're going to have to work on.
Well,
that
I've got an alternative suggestion.
You do?
Yes.
See,
yes.
I had, like, the mechanic shrug.
No, smashing
the palm of the hand on the forehead.
Right.
Boy, am I stupid. But,
yep.
Dennis, you probably have something even better.
Well, we'll see. What it is, it's the okay symbol. You know, you hold your index finger and your thumb together and you hold the other three up.
Anytime you raise your hand, you run the risk
of
ambiguity.
But see, we have a circle and three fingers as opposed to just one.
Yeah, no, I don't
finger.
Think there'll be any ambiguity there at close range. But it doesn't mean I'm sorry. See, that's the problem. It means everything's okay, which means I cut you off and you're in the ditch and everything is okay. But it isn't okay.
Yeah.
But at least it's okay.
Well, how about the universal oops? You raise your hand to your mouth. Oops.
One idea that I had, which this monograph will be available for the general public very soon. But another idea I had was I was going to talk to someone who knew sign language.
I know what the sign for sorry is.
What is the sign for sorry?
The letter S is kind of a fist, but you rub it on your chest.
You rub it on your chest.
Feeling sorry. However, you really can't...
You can't do that.
You can't do that like nobody in the rearview mirror can see that.
Yeah,
of course, we've also thought of having a little sign. If you're a frequent offender, you can have made up a little sign that's on a popsicle stick that says, sorry, that you can hold up.
Right.
And obviously, that conveys the message.
My brother actually has one of those electronic billboards on the back of his truck. And he can just punch in any message.
Right,
he wants.
You can have the sign written backwards, too, so people can read it in their rearview mirror.
Yeah.
So when they pull out in front to cut you off, to reciprocate, if you're having cut them off, you can hold the sign that says, sorry, and they can read it in the rearview mirror.
But Dennis, you have put your finger, I think, on one of the major problems of this century.
Yes. Now, does this happen when the tank is more than half full?
What color is this Taurus?
Dennis, you're a good sport. It's been nice talking to you.
Okay, thanks.
See you later.
Bye-bye. All right, it's time to take a short break.
I know. You have to put the finishing touches on that new puzzle, don't you?
Well, if you consider the question and the answer, the finishing touches, then, well, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And that, so I guess that's all that's left to do.
Great. We'll be back in a minute.
Now, I don't know where I'd be hanging if I didn't have my trusty old Volkswagen. Sleek inches round, I love that sound. Best little friend I've ever found. I don't know what I'd be doing if I couldn't say the word Farfagnugan. Quick off the line, stops on a dime, gets me where I'm going every time. Vroom, vroom, vroom.
And even though canaries volunteer for coal mine duty whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Yes.
Now, first off, don't send this. I've gotten this Puzzler and the one about the ice cream and Pontiac Motor Division 5,000 times. If you're of a mind to send in the one about the vanilla ice cream and the Pontiac Motor Division complaint, don't send that one in.
Yeah.
I've used it already.
I know.
And don't send this one anymore because I've been getting this Puzzler for about 10 years.
And you finally decided to use it.
And I finally decided.
Well, see, if you don't use it, people say, well, he doesn't have.
Well, that's why I'm using it. I'm getting sick of reading it. Here it is. I'll set the scene.
Go ahead.
It's a dark and stormy night.
I knew it.
You're on Isla Nublar.
Yeah, Jurassic Park stuff.
Jurassic Park stuff. Pterodactyls are circling overhead. Tyrannosaurus rexi are nipping at your heels, and you're done for. And the only hope to escape this hell is to get to the dock.
Right.
You're driving along this road in your Nissan Pathfinder, heading for what you hope is the dock, and you come to a what?
Spoon in the road.
You come to the proverbial fork in the road. Now, Unfortunately, on this island, there are liars and there are truth tellers. Mm. The liars always what?
Lie.
And the truth tellers always what?
Tell the truth. They do whatever they want to do. They tell the truth. Yeah, I got it.
Lo and behold, you come to the fork in the road, and there are two guys there. And you know that they always travel in pairs. There's always one liar and one truth teller.
Oh, interesting.
But you don't know which is which, and you need to find the road to the dock.
Oh.
So the question, very simply, is what one question could you ask either one of them that would unquestionably get you onto the right road and to safety, where your boat awaits at the dock, obviously. Got it?
I got it. I got the answer, too.
You can't make any threatening statements.
Oh, okay.
You can't threaten to cut anything off. It's going to be a question. You can ask.
Just a question.
You can ask either guy one question.
Yeah.
And
he's going to give you an answer.
You have to be able to ascertain without a doubt.
That's the road to the dock. Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. I like it.
And you can point, too. You can mention this road, that road. But you can ask one question. What's the question? If you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a $20 bill and send it to us at Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Mass 02238. You can also do an electronic funds transfer and email your answer on a $20 bill to us from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name is Andrew, and I'm calling from Bridgeport, Connecticut.
That's close to us.
Yeah, and I hope your weather's better than ours is.
No.
You know, I once had the most delicious, I shouldn't say this in the hearing of my father-in-law, but I'll say it anyway, the most delicious pierogi I have ever eaten, I ate in Bridgeport, Connecticut. I wish I could remember the name of that wonderful little Polish restaurant. My father-in-law makes pierogi, but his aren't as good as these were. These were great.
That's not what you told him.
That's not what I told him. I told him every time he gives them to me, I say, Pete, these are the best pierogies I've had.
In Maine.
All day.
So what's up, Andrew?
Well, my wife has an odd car, and it's doing an odd thing.
Mm.
The car is a 1988 and a half Toyota Corolla all-track wagon, four-wheel drive.
All-track wagon.
Right.
Yeah.
Got it.
I remember these.
When it is cold out, and you're driving the car at exactly 30 miles an hour, no faster, no slower, it howls like a dog.
Mm.
And it doesn't seem to affect the car adversely in any way, it just makes this very strange noise. And it has mystified us ever since we've had it. and we have no idea what's causing it.
Woo!
No,
like that?
Oh, yeah. Woo, 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 woo!
Yeah.
Like
now,
that.
Does it do it? You said 30 miles an hour.
Exactly.
But does it do it at 30 miles an hour no matter what gear you're in?
Yes.
So if you're in second gear doing 30 miles an hour, it makes the noise.
That's correct. Third gear, fourth gear, coasting. Doesn't.
And the noise sounds like it's coming from all around you.
That's right. We can't locate it, but it maybe is coming from the front of the car, but it's one of those
pervasive noises.
You're close.
Yeah. I'm going to suggest that it's coming from the speedometer.
Speedometer?
Whoa.
Yes.
Well, that's one thing that would certainly have something to do with 30 miles an hour.
Certainly
is
does.
Is that what gave you the clue?
Yeah. Well, all the things. The cold, the howling, the fact that it happens at this one speed.
Mm-hmm.
It might not be the speedometer itself, but it could easily be the speedometer cable.
Aha.
But the way you're going to find this out is you're going to unhook the thing from the transmission.
Okay.
And then drive it.
And see if it happens.
And see if it happens. And when it doesn't happen, you'll say, Sonia, Henny's tutu. They were right.
Is it possible, not to disagree with my brother?
No,
I mean,
why would you? I mean, there'd be no logical reason for disagreeing with me. What motivation could you possibly have?
Only because I had a feeling. As Andrew was describing the problem, I didn't feel anything with speedometers. I felt wind. I felt, he said howling. Howling made me think of wind.
But it
wind made me think of the doors, cracks, spaces.
Yeah, like the ones between you, like the one between your ears.
I mean, is it the kind of sound that could be coming from wind hitting the doors that aren't closing quite correctly?
Maybe, but it only happens when it's cold.
Right.
It only happens.
Well, things shrink when they're cold. I mean, you could certainly
disprove
him immediately by driving it the next morning. It's cold, like tomorrow morning, and leaving
open a door,
leaving a window, drive with the door open. Take the door right off.
No, I mean, if you drive along and at 30 miles an hour, you hear the noise and you open the door, if the noise stops, it means it certainly is not the speedometer cable.
Okay.
Yeah, but you'll discover, Andrew, don't listen to him. He's had this problem for quite a while.
How to calm an angry co-host.
Yeah, he has had this problem for quite a while. It is undoubtedly...
Echoing is one technique.
The
echoing. What they say lets them know you're not about to fight with them over it. It takes two to fight. And if you refuse to take part in a conflict, you'll control the situation better. I think it's probably the speedometer cable, don't you?
Damn right it is. See you, Andrew.
Good luck.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for calling, Andrew. Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Mindy.
Mindy. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
What part of New York are you from?
I'm not from New York. I'm in San Francisco.
No kidding.
Yeah. I'm actually not from San Francisco. I'm from Canada, but I'm living here right now.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Do you know when the Canadian... everyone knows the Canadian National Anthem, at least the first two words of it.
Canada.
You
must watch hockey.
When was that adopted?
Oh, I have no idea. Canadians don't know anything about their history. I'm sorry.
Well, you don't really have any history to speak of up there in Canada, do you?
Oh, don't start.
What has ever happened there that the rest of the world would know about?
The referendum in Quebec.
That's about it.
I
was
going to
say the only thing that people in the future will remember is when Quebec seceded. When was that, anyway?
Please don't ask me that.
All right. See, she forgot that, too.
We'll let you off the hook on all counts. What do you want?
Okay, I have a 1990 Miata.
Yes.
When I started in the morning, it has a tick, 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 tick noise.
Mm.
Yeah, and it seems to last for about 15, 20 minutes, and I don't pay attention to when it goes away, but it's loud enough that it bugs me, and I've just moved to the city, and I'm a woman, and I'm blonde, and I'm driving this convertible, and I don't want to get suckered when I take it in somewhere, so I want your opinion to see what it is.
Are you suggesting that blonde women in convertibles don't have the respect that other people might demand?
I am more than suggesting it. I'm confirming it.
Confirming it, okay.
Yes.
I'm glad to hear it.
Yes. No, I trust you guys.
You have the classic Mazda syndrome.
Okay, what is it?
Tick, 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 tick. You're the one who told us.
Yeah, you have a... I'm pretty sure this vehicle has self-adjusting hydraulic valves.
Okay.
And you have a lifter that is not pumping up fully.
Okay.
And it may be that you need new lifters, or you may have low oil pressure, or you may have nothing to worry about. Mm.
And there are some people who think that that noise is coming not from lifters but from a sticky valve.
Okay.
Which is another possibility.
Well, my dad thought it was the oil filter.
What?
I think the oil filter's plugged
up. Is he Canadian, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, he is, and he doesn't get car talk there, so he won't hear me say all this.
Is he blonde?
No, he is.
Yes, he is. The oil filter?
Yeah.
Well, I know what he's thinking. Okay.
Okay.
No, it's not the oil.
Well, I don't think so either, because I'm sure this has been going on through many oil changes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it worse in the colder weather?
Yes, it is.
Sure.
Yes, it is. And it's a new car to me. I've only had it for 3 months, not even. So.
Ah.
Oh, so you bought it used in the warm weather when it typically doesn't make the noise.
Yes, and I bought it in Canada. Yeah.
I would take it to the dealership, and I would tell them that you wanted to investigate a sticky lifter.
Okay.
Or stuck valves.
Okay.
I think it's lifters.
Could be the oil filter.
That's what I said.
See ya, Mindy.
Okay.
Good luck.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, gentlemen. This is Phil from Amboy, Pennsylvania. How you doing?
Hi, Phil. How are you?
I'm fine.
Amway?
What?
Where, Pennsylvania?
Ambler, Pennsylvania. Oh, I'm from Philadelphia.
I thought you said Amway.
Nah.
Ambler.
I didn't know Amway had bought an entire city.
I wish they would. They'd run it better.
So yeah. What's up? What's going on, Phil?
Well, gentlemen, you are experts in all matters of the heart, and you are experts in all things automotive, and
yeah.
I think that makes you uniquely qualified to take care of a problem for me.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so, too.
Won't you be disappointed if we don't?
Yes, I will. My wife is extremely sensitive to every noise that a car can make and every vibration she feels in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And she is very paranoid about the car breaking down, probably at night, probably out of state, probably with our two daughters aboard, and all the evils of society descending upon her.
Yes.
And she
and behind the wheel of that 78 Volare.
Nah.
Oh, go ahead.
She's got a theory that if she was married to an auto mechanic, her mm-hmm. car would be in top-notch condition and she would never have to worry about these things. And before she runs off with the guy from the corner station,
yeah.
I want you to prove her wrong.
You need only talk to my wife.
Okay, I believe that all wives of auto mechanics are driving around in bombs with duct tape in the back seat so they can fix their cars.
Well, I mean, the old theory about the cobbler's son and all that stuff. Jeez. Here's the problem that I have.
Yeah?
At least according to my wife. And I think she's wrong about this. But my wife, too, is very sensitive to noises, vibrations, and other things.
Is this the problem of the week, or is this an ongoing?
This is ongoing.
Oh.
This is one of the 10,000 problems.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. But she claims that I don't... How do you say it? I don't take her opinion seriously enough. She says to me, something is wrong with the car. And I say, what? She says... doesn't seem to be going good. And I say, what does that mean? And she says, well, I don't know. And I say, okay.
How do I fix that?
And then I leave. And I say, next time I drive it, I'll see if I notice.
And then he drives it, and he notices nothing. And then Joanne calls me and asks me to take it for a ride. And if I notice nothing wrong, she says, okay, I guess I was just imagining something. And that's the end of it.
Yeah.
Right. More often than not, I agree with her, though. There's something wrong with the car.
No, not more often than not, she's right. Even when you say you don't find anything wrong with it. Because I think the problem is this. As sensitive as we are,
right.
We will never be as sensitive as women. We can't do it. We don't know how to do it. And so they probably have some inner force that is helping them to diagnose things, or at least to know that something is wrong, than we will ever be able to do.
Right, but if she dumped me and married an auto mechanic, she wouldn't get anybody listening to her any better, would
well,
she?
Well, no, she might
not.
Oh, that
not, was but, the question,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, that was the question.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, does this guy have a boat? Maybe that's the overriding reason she's dumping you.
I mean, I remember when my wife drove her 76 Volvo wagon, which I helped her pick out. And
last year.
No, it was a couple of years ago. And she drove this car for many years, and she kept complaining about various things. And I, of course, kept saying, hon, just keep driving it. These are Volvo. Volvos don't break down. until finally I, by some mistake, drove the car and it died in the middle of Mass Ave and Harvard Square and smoke poured out of it. People came and pulled me out of the car.
This was after we had just worked on it.
and she finally, you know, she was very diplomatic, I should say, about it. She said,
not condescending.
Well, I guess I was right, huh, bozo? So back to the question, though. Will your wife be driving a safer car if she's married to a mechanic? Ask, what does your wife say?
My wife used to call the shop and disguise her voice to make appointments to get her car fixed. You know, she'd try like a Romanian accent. Who was the lady that always played in those drums? Maria Ospenskaya. This is Maria. I need to have my car fixed. Dracula will come visit you. But no, my wife never had an unsafe car. I always made sure that when she drove her car with the children in it, it was always safe.
Okay.
Good luck, man.
Thank you, gentlemen.
See ya.
Bye.
Well, it's happened again. You have squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Midnight Sun, Beef Chow Fun, Steak A1, Shrimp Todman, Pork well done, hot cross bun, and chilled blue nun pre-lunch run is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our holiday decoration specialist is Aretha Holly. Our long-distance truck driver is Etienne Wheeler. And our solicitor of new ideas is Obi Quiet. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by staff librarian, all been heard before. Our sexual harassment investigator is Hank Pankey. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Autovindo. Our eBay specialist is Selma Junkoff. Our chief benefactor is Myra Chunkle. The president of the disgruntled Hatchback Owners Club is Ivana Trunk. Our Russian chauffeur is Bikov and Dropov. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to dazed shoppers fighting over hand-dipped candles in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and remember, don't drive like my brother.
And remember, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1450, download other episodes, and check out our holiday CD gifts and our embarrassed to be seen in Car Talk clothing all over at cartalk.com, where you can also get information about a fabulous year-end way to save a few bucks on your taxes.
Does it involve the Cayman Islands, waste management holding companies, and the guy named Vito?
Not exactly.
It's the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program.
You donate your used car to support your local NPR station and deduct the amount the station gets for it. Get more information at cartalk.com.
That's the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program this week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though crash test dummies protest the inclusion of radios in their cars whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.